Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much. This week's Parsha, Parshiyos, Acharemes Kedoshim, there's so much to concentrate on. But I'd like to jump first to what's perhaps a universal favorite, not just for this week, but for many people any week, and that's the Pasuk of V'ahavta l'reach kamocha ani Hashem. And everybody knows the V'ahavta l'reach kamocha. People quote it, whatever type of society they're from. Even other religions have chapped it and use it for themselves as a fundamental. But if we concentrate on what this pasuk is built of, V'ahavta l'reach kamocha ani Hashem, if we look at the entire verse, or at least this section of the pasuk, we can understand exactly what's expected of us in the mitzvah and why this is so fundamental to our entire approach to the way we perform mitzvahs. V'ahavta l'reach kamocha, all of us know, you have to love your fellow as yourself. But ani Hashem, the continuation, we don't quite understand why this has to be there as part of the pasuk. So Rav Shimon Schwab gives us a fantastic insight into what's going on over here. And he says that the Gemara in Sotah, he brings the Gemara in Sotah, Daf Yudalev, that says, Acharei Hashem lekechem telechu, that we have to go after, we have to follow the ways of Hashem. So what does it mean to follow the ways of Hashem? The Gemara asks, what does it mean? What does it mean that Hashem does something and we have to follow those ways? Doesn't it say, the Gemara asks, in Parshas Vayeschanan, Ki Hashem elekecho eish oichlehu, that Hashem is so powerful, eish oichlehu, that Hashem has certain attributes that if we as humans wanted to follow exactly the ways of Hashem, it would be impossible for us to do. So the Gemara answers, no. You don't have to follow Hashem exactly. Not everything that Hashem does, or every attribute that Hashem has, do we have to follow as human beings. Ela lahalech acha midosav. But what? We have to follow the midos of Hashem. We have to emulate those midos that Hashem has and bring them into our own lives to achieve his karvus l'Hashem, to follow in the ways that he has. The Gemara continues, Mahu malbish harumim. Just like Hashem clothes those who are naked, so too we have an obligation to clothe those who are naked. Where do we know that Hashem clothes those who are naked from? From Adam and Chava, that as soon as they were, as straight after the chet, as they realized exactly what was going on, so Hashem gave them that which to wear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bikach cholim, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mevakach cholim. So too, we have a chiyuv, lalech acha midosav, to be mevakach cholim. Just as Hashem went to visit Avraham after Bris Milah, so too, if we know that somebody is a cholim, we have to emulate the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to be mevakach cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem aveilim, af atzim nichem aveilim. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menachem aveilim, so too we have an obligation to emulate the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and also be menachem aveilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kov ameisim, so too we have a mitzvah to emulate the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and also bury kov ameisim, to bury those who are dead. So obviously, the obligation over here is not to emulate every single midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we also know that Hashem is kind of an Ikeh. And we also know that Hashem has a midah of Charein Af. Whenever Bnei Yisrael did something wrong in the Midbar, so there was an issue there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kohes Aleihem. We don't have to emulate that midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara is telling us that we only emulate those midahs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has or did, which bring out the best in us, which make us be better people. And so too, also like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mechaya Mesim. We can't be Mechaya Mesim. Of course, there's not an expectation of us to be Mechaya Mesim. But the inyan of Hadbek Bidrochov, Hidovek Bidrochov, that we have to emulate the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, says Rav Shimon Schwab, an explanation. It sheds light on exactly how we should be mekayim the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reach kamocha. That when we want to be mekayim v'ahavta l'reach kamocha, ketikuna, as it's meant to be kept, that we must do it acharei Hashem lekecha teilechu. That when we want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Ahavtarecha Kamocha, we have to look at the Ani Hashem at the end of the Pasuk, and we have to emulate the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that they will bring about the Ahavtarecha Kamocha. So the Ahavtarecha Kamocha is the mitzvah klali. That's a general explanation of what we're expected to do. But Prati HaMitzvah are said later on in Acharei Hashem Lekechem Telechu, and that's Ahavtarecha Kamocha. That's the Ani Hashem, that's straight after V'ahavta L'recha Kamecha, that we should go after the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's another explanation, he continues. There's another explanation that we all know, the famous story of this Nochri Echad who came and he wanted to, he said to Hillel and Shammai, Gareini al Menashe Tamdini Kol HaTorah Kula, K'shani Omed al Regal Achas. Explain to me the entire Torah when I'm standing on one foot. So he came to Hillel eventually, and Hillel was Megayahim. How was Hillel Megayahim? How did he explain to this Nochri Echad who wants to know in one sentence exactly what's the Torah all about? So he said to him, that which you hate, that which is despicable to you, that which you despise, don't ever do to your friend. Don't do it to anybody else if you don't like it. And that's the entire Torah. And everything else is explanation. Everything else is a little bit of explanation, commentary. Once you know that, you're on the road. And all the Mefarshim asked exactly what's going on over here. How is it that V'ahavtarecha Kamocha, which the Chayre Hillel is getting this from, Madasani Lachavrech Litavid, how is it that the entire Torah comes from that? So Rav Shimon Schwab explains that the mitzvah of Ahavtarecha Kamocha, many people would say, this is a mitzvah which, it's seemingly obvious. If we want that the world should continue, if we want that society should get on with one another, if we want that we shouldn't walk into the office, or into our homes, or into school, or wherever it is that we go, and get into a huge fight, or just not get on with each other, it's logical to say that we should care about everybody else as much as we care about ourselves. If we want that society should have cohesion, we should look out for others just as much as we'd like them to look out for ourselves. So what do we need this mitzvah for? Even if we never had the mitzvah, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told us, V'ahavtarecha Kamocha, it would be obvious to us, look after everybody else because you want that the world should continue. You want that everybody should get on with each other. And the truth is that it's like that. Even people who don't have a shaychus to the Torah have this concept of look out for another person. Be friendly. Let's have a friendly society. I'm not familiar with all the manifestos for next week, but no doubt in each party's manifesto, there's something about the greater society, about looking after each other, about looking after those who aren't so fortunate and bringing them up to our level, because that's exactly what we would want. But that's only there because people have ulterior motives. The only reason a person would want society to continue is because it suits me. If society wouldn't continue, I'd also be left out. I'd also not have anything. So it suits me to look after somebody else because either he'll be there for me, or maybe he'll do me a favor in future, or maybe even I'm going to do something good for him, because if I don't do something good for me, he might do something bad to me. Either one of those three options will drive why I'm doing it. But I'll never do it just because I have to. I'll never do it just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me so. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem, Rav Shimon Schwab is telling us, is not that we're doing it because society needs it. It's not I'm doing it because it suits me, because I might lose out if I don't do it, or that I will gain if I do it. But I'm doing it only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it. And this, he says, is exactly what Hillel was telling this Nochri. This Nochri, when he came along, he was saying, yeah, what's the whole Torah? How are you going to explain the whole Torah? What's it necessary? Can you teach me the whole Torah, Regal Achas? So Hillel said to him, many, many times you might think that you'll be able to come to the conclusions that you can come to, or that the Torah comes to, seemingly to yourself, by just being a moral, upstanding person who wants that the world should continue. But that's not really why we do things. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, not because you might gain, not because he might do something to you, or not because it's for the greater good, but because Ani Hashem, If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ahavta re'echa kamocha, that's why you do it. Whether or not you have an ulterior motive. Once you understand that Ani Hashem, everything else is going to be a perish. Once you understand that you do something because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you should do something, then you can understand the rest of the Torah. And that's exactly why it says Ani Hashem over here. To understand Ani Hashem, go carry on in learning. Then you'll need to learn the entire Torah Kula, that the Ani Hashem is right from Maaseh Bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out to be Kedoshim, and then, and only then, can you understand the entire Torah. And this idea is so, so important, because often I came across, when I was the rabbi in Lauten, people used to say to me, the mitzvahs make sense for this reason or that reason. We were taught in Cheder that the reason why why there's bas b'cholov is for hygienic reasons. And when we start putting reasons or creating something good for society out of the mitzvahs of the Torah, we miss the point. And then people start justifying why they no longer have to keep the mitzvah. Because if it's just there for moral reasons, for hygienic reasons, or for societal reasons, it doesn't make a difference anymore if those reasons drop away. It's so important for all of us to understand and emphasize that each and every mitzvah that we keep is because Ani Hashem. It's because it says that we have to do it there in the Torah. And why do we do it in the Torah? So it's because the whole idea was that Kedoshim Tiyu, that we should be Kodesh, that we should be unique, that we should be elevated, that everything we do should be there to elevate ourselves to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this we see was something that that not of our view tried to do, and they failed. How do we see that? So right at the beginning of Parshas Acharemos, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Acharemos Shnei Bnei Aaron Bekovas on Nifnei Hashem Vayomusu. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Daber El Aaron Achicho Val Yovu Bechol Esel Hakodesh Mibeis Laparoches. So Rashi brings on these psukim. He brings a moshel, and the makor is in the Torah's Kohanim. Hoyer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah moshlei. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave us a moshel. What's the moshel? L'chole shenichlas etzlei roife. There was a sick man. He was very, very sick. He was terminal. He was going to die. And the doctor came in. And the doctor said to him, if you don't want to die, I have some advice for you. Don't eat anything that's freezing cold. And lie in the correct bed. Don't lie in a bed that's bad for you. This was the advice that the doctor gave to him. And another doctor came in and said, don't eat anything that's freezing cold. Exact same advice. If you don't want to die, don't eat anything that's freezing cold. And also, don't lie in a bed that's bad for you. Shaloi Thomas, so that you don't die. Kederach Shemes Ploini. Just like this other person died. So we have two doctors giving the exact same pieces of advice. Yet the second doctor is giving a consequence. He's saying that if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, or if you do what I'm telling you not to do, you're going to die just like the other person died. And the Medrash tells us that the second doctor is much more scary and is going to have a greater impact on the person who is ill. And that's exactly why the Medrash continues. L'kach ne'ma acharei moishnei b'nei Aaron. That's why it says in our Pasuk that Aaron was told, al yovu b'chol esel ha-kodesh, Acharei Moishnei ben Aaron, it's like the second doctor. Hashem was saying, the mitzvah to Aaron was, don't come b'chol eisel ha-kodesh, because the boys had died, because not of our view had died. That's what he was being told. So the question is, that whenever Chazal give us a moshel, there's always something that we don't quite understand, and the moshel comes and explains something to us, that now we'll understand it a little bit better. Now that we'll have a greater or a deeper understanding, and we won't have a problem, we won't have any sort of misunderstanding that we may have had before. And the truth is, what misunderstanding would we have had? It's pretty obvious, Acharei Moshnei B'nei Aaron, that he was told, that would give him a bit of an extra push. Don't do the wrong thing. They came in at the wrong time. You need to understand exactly what's going on. So what is this moshel teaching us that we didn't quite understand before? So the truth is, we need to look at what exactly went on with not of our view. What was their chait? And again, the Mefarshim go into this at great length. both back in when they were Niftah, and also again now, what exactly was it that they did wrong? So if we go to Parshas Korach, the Rashi says, Vayishma Moshe Vayipla Aponov, when speaking about exactly what Korach did, Rashi says that that when somebody does something for the fourth time, then it becomes very hard to undo. Vayishma Moshe Vayipla Aponov, now was the fourth time that Korach had rebelled as such. Now was the fourth time that Korach has opened his mouth. That was the time when Vayishma Moshe Vayipla Aponov. And the Rishonim in Yuma Daf Peivov say, Odom over Avera Pam Rishona. If a person, he does an Avera the first time, Mochlin Loi. He can get Mechila. Shnia, Mochlin Loi. He does it a second time, he can get Mechila again. Shlishis, he does it a third time, Mochlin Loi. Again, he gets Mechila. Shenemar al Shlosha Pisha Yisrael Va'abo Loi Ashivenu. But the fourth time, he will never get Mechila. If somebody does an Aveira the fourth time, there's no way that he can go back on that. And it also brings for the Pasuk, an ear of Henkel Eile Yifal El Pa'om Shalishim Gava. And the idea is, the Da'as Kenim Mibale HaTosfos explains in Parshas Nitzavim that there are three Mechitzas, like we see by Eliyahu when it says, when he was out in the cave, it says, V'hini Hashem Ova V'ruach G'doy L'V'chazak, Loi beruach Hashem, va'achar haruach rash, loi berash Hashem, va'achar rash eish, loi be'eish Hashem, va'achar eish, kol demam adaka. So there were three mechitzas, and after the third mechitza, that's when there was the kol demam adaka, whatever the kol demam adaka is, but that's where the revelation, this galus of Hashem, was. After the three mechitzas, there in the fourth area. And also in Yecheskel we see Vehine Ruach Sarah Anon Gadol Va'esh Mislakachas Umitoichake and Achashmal. Again, we see this concept of three mechitzas, and after the third mechitza, that's where the presence of the Shechina is. So the Da'as Kenim Mibale HaTosfos explains that the first time a person does a chet, the first time a person does an avera, still the chet only makes a pagam. It only damages the first mechitza. And a person can do tefillah, a person can do tshuva, a person can be mevatel the mekatreg, and also try to stave off the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so too the second time. And so too the third time. But the fourth time, says the Da'as Kenim Mibale HaTosfos, that he's already passed all three mechitzas, and he's come to that place of Sviv of Nisharim Ma'od, then, Oz Lo Yashivenu, then the person won't have a chance to go back. So it comes out that if, Chas V'Shalom, a person does a chet three times, he's pushed himself so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's Kiviyochel no comeback. He takes this one step further, that if a person is so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a person then does a chet, if a person is so close to Hashem, is right next to the Shechina Kaviyachal, and they are over in Avera, they push themselves in such a way because they should realize what that chait is and how close they are to the Shechina in the first place, that they push themselves all the way out of the Dalet Mechitzas. And perhaps this can explain what was going on. The Chazal give many, many reasons why, not of Avil, why they were Nifta. Either it was because they were Suyayin, because they were drunk on the day, or because they were Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabban, because they didn't have the correct respect and they decided that they would be Mora Halacha, or because they didn't get married. There's so many reasons which are given why they died. But the truth is, if we look at all those reasons, the famous question is, what does it mean you're giving reasons that not of Avihu died? We know why they died, because Vosom Ifnei Hashem Vayomusu. The Pasuk tells us exactly why they died. But according to what we've been saying until now, we can understand what's going on. This mashal of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, of the Choyle, that the doctor went into him and said, don't eat cold food, and you must lie in the correct bed, don't lie in the wrong bed, because they died. So we had these two doctors. The one said, just don't do it. And the other said, don't do it because you might die like somebody else died. If we look, eating cold food isn't dangerous. We all eat cold food. Not only when we came to the supper table late, but But we can eat cold food and be perfectly healthy. We can all lie if we're healthy in almost any type of bed. It doesn't really make a difference to our health. But somebody who's ill, somebody who's terminally ill, if they don't eat the correct type of food, or they're not lying in the correct type of bed, they're not looking after themselves the way they should, then they can die. So the warning of the second doctor was only because he was a chole mesukan, only because he was terminally ill. Then he said, don't lie there. So back to what the moshel is and what was being said to Aaron is when you go into the Kodesh Kodashim, when you go in, al yavim b'chol eis la Kodesh, when you there in the Kodesh, mibeis la paroiches, that's a place where you are putting yourself in a much more vulnerable place. If you do the wrong thing when you're there, then it will have such a great impact. Those things that not of our view did, either that they didn't get married, or that they were shesuyai, not that that's ever a good thing, or that they were moira halacha, not that that's ever a good thing in and of itself, but those things weren't enough that should be a problem, that they should die. But because they were there in the Kodesh Kodashim, or in the Kodesh, because if it was on the Mizbeach HaZov that they were being the Keteris, depending according to which shitter, what exactly went on, but wherever it is, whether they were in the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kodashim, they were in a place where they were vulnerable. And all these factors came together and put them in a position. So that's the moshel, that the second doctor came and said, yes, those things might not be problematic in and of themselves, but now that you're there in the Kodesh, you have to be even more careful. And the truth is that we can take this one step further, that we see that after Matan Torah, it says, Ve'al atzile b'nei Yisrael lo'yshalach yadoi, v'yechzo yisrael lo'ykim, v'yoychlu v'yishtu. So the Medrash Tanchuma and Rashi also brings it that these atzile b'nei Yisrael is speaking about not of our view, that they were mistaklim b'shchino, b'leiv gas mitoich achilu ushtia, that they were eating and drinking and enjoying tanugei ha'olam hazeh, mistaklim b'shchino at the same time, and then already they were chayev misa. But Hashem just didn't want to be ma'ariv in the simcha of Kabbalah Satorah. He didn't want to take away from the simcha of Kabbalah Satorah and kill them then. So that's why they were spared. So what's so wrong? They were oichlin v'shoisim and they were mistaklin v'shchinim. But the problem there was vayechzu esalikim, because they came close. Just like when they came in the Kodesh, because they were in that vulnerable position where they were right close up to the Shechina, then it became a problem that they were oichel v'shoisa and they were mischazal haKodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why they were chayev misa then. Rav Shimon Schwab wants to explain that the reason why they weren't killed then, and they were killed at the time of the Mishkan, the Akamas HaMishkan, when they inaugurated the Mishkan, was because when it comes to Limud HaTorah, a chelik of Limud HaTorah is Simcha. A person can't really learn Torah unless they have Simcha at the same time. If you ba'atzvus, if you're upset or you're sad, your limud haTorah can't be real limud haTorah. So for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take away from that simcha of Matan Torah, that would have been a problem. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu never killed them right there and then. But the simcha of HaKamas HaMishkan, of the initiation of the inauguration of the initiation of the Mishkan, that was a simcha which it wasn't such a problem if it was taken away from. And that's why then when they went into the Kodesh and they did that, by the Chanukah Samizbeach, that wasn't such a problem, and that's why they died. That's why they died then. So that's the concept of being aware of what type of Averis we're doing, in what situation we are, that you could do an Avera in one situation and could have much, much greater impact on yourself and the people around you if you aren't aware of what's going on. But what happens when it comes to tshuva? When it comes to tshuva, we move further in the parasha and we learn all about Yom Kippur. We all know what's expected of us. It's never too early to start speaking about tshuva. Now that we started summer, we're already coming on to Elul, so we can speak about it a little bit. But one of the big questions that there is, that a lot of people have, is right at the end of Yom Kippur, in the Avinu Malkeinu, just before we blow the shofar, we're crying out, HaChazirenu B'Shuvah Shleima Lefanecha. You've already been through Rosh Hashanah, you've been through our Asesu Mei Tshuva, hopefully you've been listening to the shofar all through Elul, and suddenly now you're still crying, HaChazirenu B'Shuvah Shleima Lefanecha. And if we want to take it one step further, already in Maariv, straight after Ne'ilah, we're already saying Slach Lanu Avinu Kichotonu, and we're saying Hashivenu, and we're speaking about Tshuva. What's going on? Wasn't the Yom, weren't we mechapa on all of our Averis during Yom Kippur? What's going on? It reminds me, somebody once asked Rav Shalom Shvadron, why is it that we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusai aloud at Maariv on Yom Kippur and not at Maariv straight after Yom Kippur? Because at Maariv on Yom Kippur, we're not really like Melachim. We've just had this huge meal. We're full. You know, so we're still groaning from everything that we stuffed down to make sure that we can make it through the fast. Who are we kidding that we're like Melachim? Whereas comes Maariv on Matzah Yom Kippur, then we're really like Melachim. We've been fasting for 24 hours. We're still dressed in white. Then we can say Baruch Shem loud. Why is it that we say Baruch Shem loud at Maariv on Yom Kippur? So he said, no, it's very, very simple. At Maariv on Yom Kippur, we're thinking about how we're not going to eat for the next 24 hours and we're dressed in white. So then we like Malachim. At Maariv on Matzah Yom Kippur, almost everybody is thinking about what they're going to be eating in 10 minutes' time. As soon as they can get through Shema and the Brachos and Shemoneh Esrei, their mind's already on biscuits, cake, or perhaps a l'chaim if that's what's at the Kiddush afterwards, if the shul puts one on. So they're not like Malachim anymore, and that's why they don't say it then. But coming back to the question, why is it that we're asking that we should get the koiches or the tools or the help to do proper tshuva, and we can ask a little question further, and then we can answer both of these. That when Anshei Knesset HaGadola, when we're sucking the tefillas of Hashivenu and Slach Lanu, surely they never had themselves in mind, because they were tzaddikim. What type of Averis were they speaking for everybody? So really we can say that they were doing it for all of us. But perhaps we can take it one step further and understand what they had in mind. And to understand this, we need to appreciate that there are two types of tshuva. There's tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'yira. In tshuva me'ava, zedonos on nasu zechuyos. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that if we do a proper tshuva me'ava, not only did we not do the Avera, but it's turned into a zechus. It's turned into keilu, we did a mitzvah. It takes it not just to neutral level, but it turns it into a positive. The Svana and Pashas Netzavim, v'hoyoki v'hoyo lecho v'ashevoy selu v'avecho v'shavta Hashem lekecho v'shamat b'koiloi, and it carries on, v'ashevoy selu v'avecho. He's spoiling and he says, b'chel ke'asoy seru t'shive melu v'avecho, yachtov lahavchina emes min ha-sheker, u'vozeh takir kamarachakta min ha-kel yisale, and then v'shavta Hashem lekecho. He says, Tia Teshuvascha, your tshuva will be a proper tshuva which will bring you up to Kitzei HaKavod. And that's tshuva me'ava. It turns into a zechus. Not so with tshuva me'yira. Tshuva me'yira, if you're scared from the oynish that you get in Olam Hazeh, or maybe also in Olam Haba, all it does is it sort of hides the avera that we did. It causes that Hashem should kill or block it out, not look at it when we're being judged. A moshul would be, if somebody dies and you bury them, even though you can no longer see the mace, we all know that the mace is there. You just can't see it. And so too, the Etzem Avera stays there, but it's ignored when we're being judged. And that... when we do tshuva me'ava, we come closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when we do tshuva me'yira, it's still there. And that's the kavana of Hashivenu and Slach Lanu. Not that we should do tshuva me'yira, but rather that we should do tshuva me'ava, that we should constantly be striving to turn our veras, if we have done any, into zechuyos. That we should really want to be miskayev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all those averas should become zechuyos. On Yom Kippur, we're asking that at least we should do tshuva me'yira. At least HaKadosh Baruch Hu should ignore those Averis so that we get a good din, so that we can get a good year. But straight after Yom Kippur, we're not really in the position that we'd like to be. Of course, we're all working towards that all the time. But we're still davening that even though we've done a Tshuva Me'ira, we still want to work to a Tshuva Me'ava. And from that Tshuva Me'ava, we can come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and achieve that which we really meant to. Shkoyach.